And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Quimry. Ty Rapp Cortese loves cooking, and he's bringing his favorite hobby and cultural pride together for Black History Month at the University of Alaska Southeast. This is Rapp Cortese's second year cooking soul food for a campus event. He says he loves cooking for friends and family and grew up sharing food as a way to share community.
One, you know, people love to eat. Two, it's good food, so, like, why not?
With the help of the Student Activities Board, he plans to make gumbo and chicken fried cauliflower. Events like these give him the avenue to build community around food.
You can read a book, but you can't taste a meal through a book like that. And so it's really cool to be able to, like, bring that to people that never got to experience it.
Rapp Cortese was born in Southeast Alaska and grew up eating Puerto Rican food like arroz con pollo, but he spent his adolescent years in rural Texas, where he stood out as a Black kid.
I had two lesbian grandparents, a Black Puerto Rican kid in this town of less than 200 people, 250 people. Like, it's not the best recipe.
From Texas, he moved to stay with other relatives in Georgia who taught him how to make soul food. Rapp Cortese says he used to feel a lot of internalized racism while growing up, but food helped him learn how to embrace his background. He came back to Juneau to work for a family business a couple of years ago, but soon found himself in school studying history. Now, as a sophomore at UAS, he's ready to share the parts of his culture that he used to hide.
If there's other Black kids around campus, it's not their job to share their culture. It's their culture. But for me, I always feel like it's one of my favorite things to do is share.
His soul food buffet will be February 24th, and it's open to UAS students and faculty. Ella Pyatt was recently named Firefighter of the Year by Capital City Fire Rescue. She sat down with KTOO's Chloe Plesnek to talk about how she initially became involved in this often dangerous, always meaningful work, and even gave some words of wisdom for potential future firefighters.
So Ella, first of all, congratulations on your recent recognition as Capital City's Firefighter of the Year. Could you tell me a little bit about how you got involved in firefighting?
I started around when COVID hit. I was doing a lot of working from home and just everything was shut down. And I started a second job working at the airport when with the COVID effort. And at the time, CCFR was in charge of that effort. So I got to know a lot of the firefighters there. And then Chief Mead actually came up to me and asked if I wanted to join their upcoming Firefighter 1 class that was happening in that February. And I was like, why not? I didn't have much else going on. So I figured I might as well take on the challenge. So,
well, what's the hardest thing about being a volunteer firefighter then?
I would say, like, comically, trying to reach everything off of the tall engines, but that's why we help each other out. I am very height challenged, as most people would say. But other than that, it's just usual, just physical exertion and, yeah.
Yeah. So what's one of the better things? What's something that you find joy in?
And I kind of like just being on my toes and just helping out the community, and the career staff is great, and, you know, we're just a great team. So I really like the camaraderie and, yeah, everyone's supporting each other and just, yeah, all around support.
Definitely, yeah. So what was your reaction when you heard about winning this award?
I was very surprised. I was in the middle of eating food, so I was at the banquet, so I was very taken aback. I wasn't expecting it.
They didn't
it
let
all.
You know ahead of time that you'd won?
No, I know they sent out, like, email nominations, so I knew they were having awards, but right. I didn't think I was, especially with all the amazing, like, firefighters that are, you know, and the career staff and other volunteers, I just didn't think I was. It was a surprise. I was taken aback a little bit. I actually had to, like, think again and be like, was that my name or was that someone else's name?
So this is just a question I have, and it's really just for any little girls or boys that might be listening to KTOO and maybe they want to grow up and become a volunteer firefighter. What would your word of advice or wisdom be to them?
Yeah, I would say go for it and just stay open-minded, because you're going to learn things that you are maybe not so good at and things that you are really good at, but it's going to help kind of define who you are. And that's definitely what I found out was, you know, I never knew I'd be breaking windows during a fire or anything. Like, I just didn't think that was ever anything I would be doing. And then I've also found out where some of my weaknesses are. And, you know, it just made me think about, like, oh, maybe I should work on that. Or, yeah, and also made me realize that I have a lot of strengths. I definitely highly encourage it. Definitely have them do it.
Yeah. And were there any challenges that you faced as a woman in this kind of male-dominated field?
I think it's definitely progressed more, so not so much anymore. I've had incidences where it's just like, I think some guys think I can't be doing this stuff on my own. Like, I have to have my partner, who's actually with me now, my partner be there. I'm like, no, I just say, you know, I'm my own person. Like, I don't need to, I'm not defined by the person I'm with, by a man. So I definitely, those are some challenges. But again, that's not everybody. The world is changing and is becoming a lot more recognized. I mean, we have a young captain who's exceeded everything. And I think she's incredible captain. So it's definitely progressing. And I think it's definitely opened up more opportunities for women.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And congratulations. It sounds like it was much deserved. And thank you for your community volunteering. That's fantastic.
Thank you so much.
That was Ella Pyatt, Capital City Fire Rescue's Firefighter of the Year, speaking with KTOO's Chloe Plesnack earlier this week. And in her new role as Corrections Commissioner, Jen Winkleman gave her first presentation to state lawmakers yesterday when she appeared before the House Judiciary Committee. As KNBA's Rhonda McBride reports, Winkleman revealed some new information about last year's unusually high number of inmate deaths.
I would be remiss if I did not speak to the inmate deaths.
18 inmates died while in the Department of Corrections custody last year. Other than to say some of those deaths were anticipated, the DOC has kept the reasons why a secret until now. Commissioner Jen Winkleman told lawmakers the information can now be found on the department's website.
11 were natural and 7 were suicide. So there was no homicide, there was no accidental on there. 8 were sentenced and 10 were unsentenced.
Winkleman says half of the inmates who died of natural causes were receiving end-of-life care. She says the state can't say very much about prison deaths because Alaska prisons have medical facilities governed by privacy laws.
That is too many. I absolutely know that. And they are somebody's brother, they are somebody's sister, they are somebody's family member, by all means. But I do think it's important for me to share some of the things that we have found and what we have done.
The commissioner told the committee that the high number of deaths is not unusual, given the overall poor health of inmates when they enter Alaska prisons. Some, she said, have never seen a doctor before. Winkleman also told the committee she has a new staffer in her office hired to track and assess inmate deaths with a focus on suicide prevention. She says the department is working with Project 2025, a national program that aims to reduce inmate deaths by 20%. The commissioner also had praise for the department's workers and says the deaths have taken a toll on them. The Corrections Department said last year that its records on inmate deaths only go back to the year 2000, and the 18 deaths in that time frame are the highest ever recorded in one year. It's likely 2022 could be an all-time high for Alaska, since the prison population was much lower before that time. Last year, the Alaska Civil Liberties Union called on Governor Mike Dunleavy to conduct an independent investigation into the deaths. Megan Edge, ACLU's Alaska Prison Project Director, says the commissioner's report to lawmakers outlined a number of positive steps, but it's not enough.
It's transparency and accountability. If DOC is investigating itself, I don't have a lot of confidence in that. They could have been investigating themselves all last year. There was no transparency, no accountability. Department of Corrections has been allowed to operate under this veil of secrecy, and that has to stop.
Also of concern for the ACLU, half of the inmates who died last year were from one minority, Alaska Native or American Indian. They make up only 15% of Alaska's population. So far, the Dunleavy administration has said it doesn't think an independent investigation is necessary. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
And that's for the weather here in Juneau. It's currently 33 degrees and foggy. Tonight, there may be some more snow, about a 20% chance, and the low is 29 degrees. Tomorrow and Saturday, the high is in the mid-30s and the low is around 30 degrees. We may see more snow on Saturday night to Sunday. Next week, more snow is coming, with highs in the low 40s and lows in the low 30s. You're listening to KTOO.